home for homeless children. And now, enter into this great service with us.
How many is glad you're here tonight? Say amen. How many is glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. How many is happy tonight? Say amen. How many is rather be here and be in jail? Say amen. The rest of you ought to went to jail, you'd have been happier. Amen. Isn't Jesus wonderful? How about singing my little chorus I taught you the other night? Don't you like that little chorus? Come on. Amen. It's written and it's real. How many believe it is written and it's real? That's the best headache tablet you ever got a hold of. That's the best mustard plaster you ever put on you. That's the best cancer operation you ever had cut on you. 32,000 promises in the Word of God, and every one of them belong to you. How many believe it's written and it's real? Come on, sing it. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. And it's for you. It's the test and it's the trial. And it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. And it's for you. It's the test and it's the trial. And it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, that's pretty good for a consumption ward. Amen. For a bunch of dead Texans, that's awful bad for a bunch of Pennsylvanians who's got the Holy Ghost. Come on, stand up and see if you can't do it better than that. How many believe it is written and it's real? Everybody stand. Everybody, even the sick, lame, and lazy stand up. Come on, everybody sing it. Sister back there, smile, will you? Thank you. Only takes 14 muscles to smile, and it takes 48 to look like that. Oh, whole lot easier to smile. Come on, put a smile on your face and let's sing, it's written and it's real. I believe it is written and real, don't you? And I believe it's for you. I feel sorry for some people that can't smile or laugh. I don't call that religion. I call it liver trouble. Religion don't put a long face on you. Religion will put a smile on your face, a song in your heart, make you go home and kiss your own wife and leave your neighbor's wife alone. Come on, sing it all together, everybody. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. And it's for you. It's the test and it's the trial. And it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. And it's for you. It's the test and it's the trial. And it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. One more time. That's better that time. But I want you to really pull all the stops out and really sing it. Come on. And everybody smile. I said smile. Please smile. Thank you. All together now, everybody. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. And it's for you. It's the test of its time. And it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real. That my Jesus is. Well, it's written and it's real, and it's for you. It's the test, it's the trial, and it's fully satisfied. Well, it's written and it's real, that's the Jesus here. Why, that's good. Now turn around, shake hands with five people, and say, God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Wouldn't lower the dignity of the pulpit too much. I'm going to take my coat off again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me. I'm reading a portion of Scripture found in Isaiah, the 29th chapter, and I'm going to read the 13th, the 14th, and the 18th verses. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people have drew near me with their mouths, and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fears towards me, it is thought by the prospect of man. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hidden. This is a verse of love, the 18th verse. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. Out of obscurity and out of darkness. Can I quote that verse again? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. Out of obscurity and out of darkness. These are the words of Isaiah, and Isaiah was a man that never put on colored glasses to see who occupied the front pew. I don't believe Isaiah preached one kind of gospel to one class of people and another to another. I believe Isaiah preached the Word of God because it was the Word of God, and if you didn't like what he was preaching, you could just pack up what you had and go hunt you another church to go to. Are you listening to me? I don't believe Isaiah's freedom in the pulpit had anything to do with how much money he had in his pocket. And I don't believe Isaiah's freedom in the pulpit had anything to do with how much property he owned. I believe he preached the Word of God because it was the Word of God, and if you didn't like what he was preaching, you could go someplace else. I believe he took a dead aim at the hypocrites and popped them right between the eyes. We're living in the day that Isaiah described. The Bible said men have drew near me with their mouths, and with their lips they're honoring God, but they don't have their heart in their worship. There's a lot of people, the only way you can get them to praise God is tell them to. You got to get up and say, let's everybody say glory, and then they all holler glory. And then you say, now dear ones, say praise the Lord, and then they all holler praise the Lord. It sounds like a bunch of old Paul parents. I believe if you can't praise God without somebody telling you to, I believe you need to get in an altar and pray through until the praise of God gets back down in your heart where you can praise God without being told to praise God. Men have drew near God with their lips, and with their mouths they're honoring God, but they're not worshiping God from their heart. We have a lot of churchianity, but let me tell you something. We got very little Christianity. We have a great big profession, but brother, we got a little old bitty possession. Hallelujah. People have turned with itching ears from the Word of God. They want to hear stories and fables and moving picture shows. They want everything in the world except thus saith the Lord. It's got the place where you can't tell the world from the church. It's got the place where you can't tell the world from the church. Church goes to the bowling alleys, the bowling alleys go to church. Church goes to the hell holes go to church. Amen. Church goes out on dancing parties and the dancing parties come to church. You can't tell which one's the world and which one's the church. The church is weakened by sin. A lot of our churches have bridge plans. Cigarette-sucking women in the church that claim to be children of God. Quiet in here. And a lot of our churches are not even good soup kitchens. All they do is have chicken and ice cream and tea parties. And let me tell you something, a church that has to serve chicken and ice cream and tea to get people out to church, they're as dead as a chicken, as cold as the ice cream, and as weak as the tea. I believe people ought to go to church because they love God, because they love to worship God. Sin has swept across this nation. It swept into our homes. It swept into our schools. And God help us, it's even swept into the church of the living God. And it's going to wreck God's church unless we get back on our knees and ask God to send a Holy Ghost revival that will stir men and women's hearts. We talk about civil defense. We talk about national defense. We talk about the A-bomb and the H-bomb being our security. But brother, there's nothing our security if the Church of the Living God doesn't get on her knees and pray for God to visit the people today. This country is going to be wrecked and ruined, and the devil's going to take over. We need people with backbone that will stay on their faces and pray and seek God to visit his people with a revival that will open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to leap for joy and the deaf to hear. How many believe I'm preaching the truth? Say amen. Fewer and fewer are the people that will preach this way. Fewer and fewer are the preachers that will preach out against your little pet sins. Your little pet thoughts. Some of our churches are so cold and so dead. They got snow in the pew, frost in the choir, and a 6-foot icicle during the preaching. Those who need a warning from a faithful pastor, when he does preach out against their pet sins and their pet faults, it isn't long till you find that old boy packing his grip and hunting another place to preach. Why? Because people don't want what the Bible says today. They cry, do away with that bloody religion. Brother, I want the bloody religion. I believe the bloody religion is the Word of God. I believe it's God's Word. I believe He died on the tree and shed His blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody said, if divine healing is the Word of God, why don't all preachers preach divine healing? I'll tell you why they don't preach it, for the same reason the religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't preach it. For the same reason, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, caused the lame to walk, they called him Beelzebub, the father of the deaf. Let me tell you, it wasn't the outside world that fought Jesus when he was here on earth, but it was church members. I said it was church members. And it was preachers, and it was priests, and it was other people that fought the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember another thing too. It wasn't the harlot and the drunkard and the liar that crucified my Lord, but it was a bunch of dead church members that nailed him to the tree. Now, I don't wish to cast any reflection on any preacher. But the reason preachers don't preach divine healing and the power of God today is for the same reason the religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't preach it. Let me tell you something. If you oppose divine healing, you don't oppose Jack Coe. You don't oppose a handful of Pentecostal preachers. If you oppose divine healing, you oppose the work of the living God, who's healing scores of souls today, who's opening the eyes of the blind and causing the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. Brother, you're not opposing man, you're opposing God's work. I'd rather have my eyes put out. I'd rather have my arms cut off. I'd rather go through this life blind and lame and halt than I would to fight against the work of the living God. I'll never forget when I first got out of the army in 1945. I was down in a little old place called Red Oak Flat, Texas, holding a revival meeting, and it was in the country, and my whole congregation, that was back when I first started preaching, and my whole congregation, lots of nights, it only amounts to 12 and 13. And most of them would stand outside the door and talk about working in their gardens and planting crops. I said one night, I said, all of you fellows that are on the outside of this church, one of these times you're going to want me to pray for you. And I said, I'm going to do it, but I just want you to know you're going to want me to. And I'll never forget the next morning, about 8 o'clock, there was a knock on the parsonage door, and I went to the door, and there stood Mr. Sloan. He walked out the edge of the porch and spit up blood, and he come back, and he said, is Brother Paramore here? And I said, no, he's already gone. He said, Brother Cole, would you take me to Jacksonville, to the hospital? That's Jacksonville, Texas. And I said, sure. I said, wait here till I get my hat and the keys to my car, and I'll go. Somebody said, why didn't you pray for him? Because he didn't ask me to. I said, because he didn't ask me to. Bible didn't tell me to look you up. The Bible said for you to look me up. Bible said call the elders of the church. How many believe that? Say amen. And I went in, I got my hat and my keys. Come back out and got him in the car. We started to Jacksonville and he moaned and groaned and spit blood, and I sit there and drove and sang I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way is growing clear. Somebody said, my, you're hard-hearted. Why didn't you pray for that man? Because he didn't ask me to. He knew what it took to get healed. Some woman said to me one time, said, I was sick and my pastor didn't come to see me. I said, did you call him? She said, certainly not. Said, he's a Holy Ghost man. He ought to know when I'm sick and when I'm not. I said, if your pastor knew all about you, you'd left town 24 hours ago. Aren't you glad God don't tell him? We got on to Jacksonville, and when I stopped the car, his wife got him out of the car and rushed him up the steps into the hospital, and I laid my head back against the seat and was meditating on the Lord and praying, and all of a sudden I heard a woman's voice saying, come quick, Brother Cole, come quick. My husband's dying. His ulcers have bursted, and said he's hemorrhaging to death. He isn't right with God. I got out of the car and rushed up the steps and rushed into the hospital, and there was that old boy rolling from one side of the bed to the other, crying and spitting up blood and moaning and groaning. And I just went there and just sit by him and looked at him. Somebody said, why didn't you pray? Because he didn't ask me to pray. I just sit and looked at him. Hallelujah! Finally he turned over and he saw me sitting there, and he said, aren't you going to pray for me? I said, if you want me to, I will. Well, he said, I want you to. I still had on my army suit, and I reached in and got my little bottle of olive oil out of my army shirt pocket, and I anointed that old boy. He got one hand in the air, and he began to say, oh, God, forgive me for lying. God, forgive me for getting drunk. God, if you won't let me go to hell, Lord, I'll pay back everything I've ever stole. God, don't let me go to hell. God, save me, Lord. He was just a praying away, and finally he began to say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I feel so good, God. I feel so good, God. Thank you for forgiving me. He got kind of noisy. You get enough of the right thing, you're liable to get a little noisy. He got noisy. The door opened and the nurse come in and she said, looked at him and she went over to get a little noise. He got a noise in. The door opened and the nurse come in and she said, looked at him and she went over to him and said, "Now, Mr. Sloan, you got to get a hold of yourself," said, "You're a sick man." That didn't help him. He just kept on getting louder. Finally, she turned around at me and she said, "Soldier, you can't disturb the patients like this." And I said, "I didn't disturb him. I just prayed for him." I said, "Somebody else disturbed him." She looked all around the room and looked back at me like there was something wrong with me. And out of the room she went. When she went out, he began to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Lord, thank you for healing me. God, I feel so good, God. Oh, God, I feel so good, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Pretty soon the door opened and in come two nurses. One of them had a hypodermic needle in her hand. They walked over and pulled up that fellow's nightgown sleeve and stuck that needle in his arm and gave him a hypo. I believe they give him about 965 pounds of shout. Because after they give him that thing, he got ridiculous. He began to talk in a language I'd never heard before. He began to shout and holler and yell, "I want out of this place. I'm healed. I'm saved. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah." That nurse turned around at me and she said, "You soldier, you're the one that's causing all the trouble." Said, "You get out of here." I said, "I'll go, but I'm not the one that's causing the trouble. When I'm gone, he'll still be here." And I went out there and went down the corridor and I could hear that old boy still praising God. The next evening, the doors of the church opened and in walked Mr. Sloan with a smile all over his face and he said, "Thank God. God saved me." Said, "God healed me." Said, "God filled me with the Holy Ghost." Said, "They took me in today." Said, "They tried to find those ulcers and they couldn't find them." Said, "They fluoroscoped me and they couldn't find it." Said, "The doctor said he didn't understand where that blood was coming from." He said that it showed that I didn't even lose any blood, and he said he knew I lost almost a quart of blood, and he said he couldn't understand what in the world had gone wrong, and he said I looked that doctor in the face and said, "Dr. Jesus took another case." Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God Dr. Jesus took another case. He took another case. I'll tell you, if Jesus ever takes your case, I don't care what you got, you'll get well. If Jesus ever takes your case, you'll leave them old crutches behind. If he ever takes your case, that old cancer will leave your body. If he ever takes your case, them old blind eyes will fly open. Oh, thank God, Jesus can heal anything, anywhere, anytime, and anybody. All you have to do is put your faith in him.
The healings you are about to witness are the actual healings as they took place in this great deliverance revival.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Dance over a nerve and I was all over.
Hurt all over?
Yeah, my nerves threw them into spasm and fist.
You have spasms.
Spasms, kiss the doctor. Spasms.
Yeah. It's all through your shoulders here and in these arms.
My legs.
Hurts you terribly.
Yeah, my legs cost me glance over 45 years.
Yeah. You're in pain right now, though.
Yep.
Pain right now.
Yeah.
You believe God can loose it?
I
believe you've been very patiently waiting for this, and here it comes. God, I break this old pain out of these shoulders, this old stiffness in these joints. God, every one of these fits from these nerves are going to leave his body, God, in thy name. Down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Now, do you feel anything in there now?
Not yet.
Not yet. You never will again. Go praise him. Amen. Raise your hands and praise God. Raise your hands and praise God. What's your trouble, sister?
I have extreme pain in my left hip and my lower back. I'm supposed to wear a brace.
Supposed to wear a brace on your back. It's dislocated nerves and the vertebrae. Is that right? It goes clear down your leg and hip and it's in your back.
That's pretty dry.
Yeah. Turn around. Go forward. Let me have your pocketbook just a minute.
Yeah.
Show me right where that terrible hurting and pain dislocation is. Right through there. Lord, in my name, God, heal this old back by the power of God. Right back. Then forward, touch your toes. Come on, touch him. Feel over. Do it again. Feel over. Come on. Come on. Loosen up. Don't be afraid. 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 Now you do it. Put both hands over your head. Now go over and touch your toes. Come on. Pull. Up again. Down again. Up again. Tell me something. How does your back feel now? How does your back feel? I said, how does your back feel? I said, how does your back feel?
No, hallelujah.
That's all I want to know. Glory to God. Raise your hands and praise God. Raise your hands and praise God. Raise your hands and praise the Lord.